Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're looking at a very specific date today, March 1st, 2026. And if you haven't checked your notifications yet, you might want to sit down for this one.
Yeah, it's definitely not your typical news day. I mean, on the surface, it looks like a standard Monday.
Right. Just a few press releases, some stock bumps.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you actually read the documentation we've pulled for today, specifically regarding the Pentagon and the major tech giants, the landscape of the internet just fundamentally changed overnight.
It really did. Reading through all this, I kept getting the vibe that there is this massive hurricane on the horizon, and yet everyone is just walking around with their umbrellas closed.
That's a great way to put it. We are looking at a convergence point. Usually we talk about tech news in these neat little silos.
Like, here's what Apple did, and here's what the military is doing, and over here is what's happening in video games.
Right. But the research we have today suggests those silos are completely gone. The boundaries between military software and consumer gadgets and games are basically evaporating.
Which brings us to the core concept of the source material today. They are calling this the cold summer of AI.
The cold summer, yes. And March 1st really marks the start of what analysts are calling the infrastructure wars.
The infrastructure wars. That phrase jumped out at me immediately. Our mission today is to basically decompile the source code of the last 24 hours to understand what that actually means.
Because it means we are exiting the era of consumer hardware. You know that era where the focus was just on selling you a shiny new device every September?
Right. And now we are entering the era of strategic infrastructure. We're moving away from, isn't this chatbot cool, to who actually owns the plumbing of reality?
Precisely. Today, the Pentagon and Xbox and Apple all made moves that look totally disparate. But they're all answering the exact same question. Where does the intelligence live?
Does it live in the cloud controlled by a central authority, or does it live on the physical glass in your hand? So let's just dive right into the heavy hitter. The source material leads with the Pentagon. And frankly, this looks like a breakup text that turned into a geopolitical incident.
It really does.
The U.S. Defense Department has officially terminated its contract with Anthropic. Done. Cut. And almost immediately, they signed a classified memorandum with OpenAI.
It's a massive pivot. And to understand the gravity of this, you have to look at the architectural differences between those two companies. The Pentagon didn't just switch vendors to save a few bucks.
No, they switched because of Anthropic's whole philosophy, right? Their constitutional AI.
Right. Anthropic stuck to their ethical red lines. Their models have a literal constitution they have to adhere to.
And that constitution includes strict prohibitions against aiding in lethal autonomous weapons systems or mass surveillance architecture.
Exactly. Anthropic was effectively telling the Pentagon that we will build you a brain, but it is going to refuse to think about certain things.
And the Defense Department is not exactly looking for a conscientious objector right now.
Not at all. In the current climate, they don't want an ethical advisor. They want a computational weapon.
But wait, OpenAI has safety teams too. Sam Altman has been on every stage for the last 3 years talking about safe AGI. How does this square with signing a classified deal to enter military networks?
Well, that is the billion-dollar question. The memorandum claims that safety protocols are preserved.
Preserved. Okay.
Yeah. But the analysts in our source material are calling this algorithmic bluffing.
Algorithmic bluffing.
Because the reality is, OpenAI is under immense economic pressure. Training these massive next-generation models requires capital that venture capitalists just do not have anymore.
We're talking about buying those massive NVIDIA chip clusters and the electricity to run them.
Trillions of dollars, not billions.
Mm-hmm.
And military budgets are basically the last source of infinite capital on Earth.
So this is fundamentally about the money.
It's about the feedback loop of training AGI. The military has the budget. But once you integrate a deep neural network into a classified military network, the concept of safety totally changes.
Because you aren't asking the AI to write a sonnet or debug some Python code anymore. You're asking it to analyze battlefield telemetry.
Which brings us to the most terrifying technical risk highlighted in the report, hallucination.
Right. We all know LLMs hallucinate. But in a consumer context, that just means your chatbot makes up a fake POM or a fake hotel for your vacation.
Exactly. You get annoyed. But if a military targeting system hallucinates, that is a totally different ballgame.
It's the difference between a bad itinerary and a war crime.
Merging these models with military databases is a point of no return, because these systems are probabilistic, not deterministic.
They are just guessing the next token based on statistical likelihood.
Right, and the Pentagon is trying to force a probabilistic system to behave deterministically in a kinetic environment. We're literally delegating survival parameters to cost functions.
And a cost function is just the math deciding what the optimal outcome is based on its training.
Yes, so we might not even understand why a decision was made until after the smoke clears.
It seems so desperate, like they are rushing this integration because they are terrified of being left behind, not because the tech is actually reliable yet.
That is exactly the cold summer concept. It's a complete freeze on caution. Working perfectly is now less important than working first.
Wow. Okay, so on one side, we have the software, the brain getting militarized and locked into the cloud. Now let's pivot to the reaction to that, because Apple is doing something completely different.
The counter move.
Right. They just announced a massive hardware dump for March 2nd through the 4th, a total barrage of new products.
If OpenAI represents the cloud doctrine, which is centralized and opaque, then Apple represents the glass doctrine. They know they are lagging behind Google and OpenAI in the generative AI race.
Their models just aren't as smart.
No, they aren't. So what is their play? They build the golden cage.
A golden cage made of silicon. I'm looking at the list of this hardware dump. We've got the iPhone 17e. We've got redesigned budget MacBooks and this new iPad Air Pro with an M4 chip. It feels like they are just using raw hardware muscle to buy time.
That's precisely what they are doing. Look at the iPad Air Pro M4. That tablet is statistically more powerful than most heavy-duty gaming laptops.
It has a neural engine that is, frankly, overkill for a tablet.
Totally overkill. The operating system can't even utilize 20% of that headroom.
It's like buying a Ferrari just to drive to the end of your driveway to get the mail.
It really is. But Apple's strategy isn't about utility right now. It is about on-device processing. They want the data center in your pocket.
Because they are betting that you as a consumer will eventually get spooked by the OpenAI and Pentagon Cloud mega servers.
Right. They want to guarantee privacy by saying your AI lives entirely on your device. It doesn't talk to the mothership.
So the hardware itself is the privacy moat.
But there is a massive vulnerability here. Apple's entire army of devices relies on one thing, the physical chips. Specifically, they are spinning up mass production for the 2-nanometer A20 Pro chips for the iPhone 18.
And those are manufactured almost exclusively by TSMC.
Exactly, in Taiwan. So while Apple is building this fortress of local processing, the foundation that fortress sits in a very precarious geopolitical spot.
If there is any instability in Taiwan, especially considering the military AI moves we just talked about, Apple's supply chain just evaporates.
They have this hardware army, but if the supply line creates a bottleneck, they run out of ammo entirely.
It's so ironic. They are trying to avoid the centralized cloud risk, but they are wildly exposed to a centralized manufacturing risk.
You pick your poison. Do you trust the algorithm in the cloud or the supply chain across the ocean?
Speaking of trusting the cloud, we really have to talk about Google now. Because if Apple is all in on glass, Google should be the absolute king of the cloud strategy.
You would think so.
But this source material regarding the Gemini integration is just brutal. They are totally stumbling.
The report literally calls it a latent nightmare.
A latent nightmare. They've delayed the full integration of Gemini into the Android operating system again, pushed to late March 2026 or even later.
Which is a huge blow, because this is supposed to be their big moment.
Why is it so hard, though? Why can't they just swap out the old Google Assistant for the Gemini LLM?
Because of what the analysts call the intoxicated philosopher problem.
I loved that analogy in the reading.
It perfectly captures the issue. The source material compares replacing a hard-coded voice assistant with an LLM to appointing an intoxicated philosopher to operate the controls of a high-speed bullet train.
It's so vivid.
The old Google Assistant was just a logic tree. You say, turn on the lights, and it triggers a specific script. It's dumb, but it's instant.
Right.
An LLM like Gemini has to actually think. You ask it to turn on the lights, and it processes the context and the semantics and the intent.
Which introduces latency. You are waiting for the cloud to think.
Serious latency. And in a voice interface, a 3-second delay feels like an absolute eternity.
Plus, there's the hallucination risk at the system level. Imagine Gemini accidentally emailing your boss a transcript of your conversation instead of just setting your morning alarm.
Exactly. And if you try to avoid the cloud latency by running that philosopher locally on the phone to save time,
you hit the battery drain problem. Your battery is dead by noon.
Right. And Google has a hardware fragmentation problem that Apple simply does not have. Apple only has to optimize for a few specific iPhones.
Well, Android has to work on, what, 3 billion different devices?
3 billion devices with incredibly weak neural processing units. Google is trying to force a massive neural network onto devices that barely have the RAM to run a calculator.
So they're stuck, trying to force the cloud onto the glass, and the glass is breaking.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the Pentagon weaponizing the software, Apple building a hardware bunker, and Google tripping over its own feet. But our outline actually points us somewhere else entirely to see where this is really heading.
The video game industry.
Right. It notes that the console wars are the clearest microcosm of this entire cloud versus silicon philosophy.
Gaming has always been the testing ground for high-performance computing. And right now, Xbox and PlayStation are fighting the exact same war we just described.
Let's start with Team Cloud, which is Xbox. There is a massive shakeup there. Phil Spencer is out.
And Asha Sharma is in. That is the ultimate signal.
Asha Sharma is an AI specialist, right? She has zero background in traditional console hardware.
None. Her appointment screams that Xbox is sunsetting the very idea of the console. They are done with the plastic box under your TV.
So Xbox just becomes an app, a cloud service.
Pure infrastructure. They want to integrate AI directly into the games from the server side. Real-time translation, generative content.
And they are using those recent Game Pass price hikes to force profitability to fund this whole server expansion.
Right. It is the cloud doctrine applied to entertainment. They run the infrastructure and you just stream the result.
But then you look at PlayStation, Sony is doing the exact opposite.
Sony is Team Silicon. They just dropped a historic update for the PS5 Pro using PSSR.
PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution. The showcase for this was a game called Resident Evil Requiem, and the specs they are hitting seem impossible for a console.
Hitting 4K resolution with heavy ray tracing. Usually a $4,000 PC struggles with that. But Sony isn't brute forcing the graphics.
They are using AI upscaling, right? So they aren't actually rendering all those pixels.
Exactly. The hardware renders the game at a much lower resolution, which is easy.
Yeah.
Then the dedicated AI silicon on the chip predicts the frames and reconstructs the textures.
It essentially hallucinates the high-resolution zombie faces.
Yes. Render smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Sony is proving that a closed architecture with local AI upscaling can absolutely beat brute force. It is the strongest proof of concept for Apple's glass strategy.
It's wild. Microsoft says the hardware is dead, and Sony proves local hardware can do magic. But then we have this incredible outlier in the reading.
The ultimate palate cleanser.
Nintendo. While everyone else is fighting this high-tech infrastructure war, Nintendo releases a game called Pokemon Pocopia.
A life sim where you play as a gelatinous Ditto.
Right, just a pink blob, no 4K, no ray tracing, no cloud AI.
And yet, it is topping the charts globally. The Switch is incredibly aging hardware, but it is still outselling the PS5 in Japan.
Why is that?
The expert consensus calls it systemic fatigue.
Systemic fatigue, meaning people are just tired of the complexity.
You're exhausted by teraflops and optimization. Nintendo is selling psychological security. They are providing a joyful sanctuary away from the cold summer.
It proves that the heart of the medium is the actual gameplay loop, not the transistor count.
Exactly. They are sitting out the infrastructure wars entirely and making billions just focusing on human joy.
So, to synthesize all of this from the cold summer of AI, we are looking at a war between two futures.
Vision one is the cloud. Microsoft, OpenAI, Google. Omnipotent, centralized control over your data and the infrastructure.
And vision two is the glass, Apple and Sony. Tactile, local, physical possession of your technology.
And the winner is going to be whichever ecosystem can predict user behavior the best.
Which leaves us with a pretty heavy question to end on. Because as these algorithms gain root access to military arrays and simultaneously run the operating system in your pocket, you have to wonder,
are you actually a user of the technology anymore?
or are you just a data point in its training set? Something to chew on while you check your phone today.
Definitely something to think about.
Thanks for diving deep into the source code with us today. We'll be back to unpack more soon.
See you in the deep end.